Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to the Aunt Canary Experience. I am your host, Aunt Canary. It is February 12th, 2019. Happy Black History Month. Used to be Black History Week. So they gave us the shortest month of the year. So I guess we got to come hard with it. So welcome to the show. Before we get started, I need to apologize. A couple of weeks ago, I did a show. I was testing out a new headset, and it didn't work. When I went back to listen to the show, it was just full of clips. It was spaces, and then clips, and then spaces. But those spaces were supposed to be the spots where I was talking. But for some reason, didn't pick up. Me talking, couldn't get any phone calls, so I apologize for that. I am not going to use that headset again. I don't even know where it is, to be honest with you. So apologize for that. And last week, your president was on, and I figured, you know, I could have done a show, but I figured I wouldn't because, you know, whenever things like that happen, it's hard to put on a show when other people, you know, minds might be somewhere else. So I just put on some smooth listening music to counter out all those lies, because I think he was on for, what, an hour and a half, something like that, and he lied the whole time he was on. So I figured, yeah, screw that. So we just countered it. So tonight's going to be the first show for Black History Month. And the topic of tonight's show is going to be, we're going to talk about black, famous black inventors. This is like the third year that I've done this, starting in 2016, because I think it's important that we all know what black people invented, because, you know, again, people like to whitewash history, have you believing that everything they did, you know, people didn't contribute to anything, which is lies. In a few minutes, I'm going to read you just a small list of things that black people have invented in this country. If you want to call in, jump in on this conversation, 563-999-3682, 563-999-3682. We are going to be on until 9:30-ish. Got some short clips to play, give you some examples of what black people invented in this country. And you have to remember, it's not a long list. It's just a short list. If you want a longer list, you can go online and look for it, because it is quite a few inventions that black people invented. And a lot of these inventions you probably didn't even think, you know, black people invented, but they did. Speaking of which, let me just add one more to this list I just thought of. But I think it's going to be on one of the clips anyway. It's going to be one of my favorite things. I'll just put it down. So, what else I had to do before we get started? See, Black History Month, the mix up. I think we're all good. If I think of anything else, I'll let you know. 563-999-3682 if you want to jump in on this. Or you can just sit back and listen. It's going to be one of those shows, educational shows, because a lot of this information is facts. And you, like I said, you might not have known about a lot of these things. So let me just read you a short list of the inventions that black people – oh, yeah, let me say, too, also – that you have to remember, black people weren't allowed to read or write. They were owned by other people. So some of these inventions, some of the older ones, black people invented these inventions, but because they were owned by other people and they were considered property, lots of times the white slave owners got credit for the invention, which is pretty jacked up, you know, if you think about it. But a lot of these inventions were created by black people, so let's don't get it twisted. Like I said, you can get online and look these up if you want to. You know, because some people might not believe when I give you this list, some people might not even believe that black people invented this stuff. So I tell you, I'm telling you right now, if you don't believe me, get online, look it up, like I did. Now, let's start at the top. Touch tone telephones. Caller ID, which if you lived in a black household, you know how important caller ID was back in the day. Fiber optic cable, which you need for internet services and stuff like that. Carbon filament, which is in the light bulb. They give Edison credit for that, but we'll talk about that in a minute, but it was a brother that improved on that. Closed circuit television security system. Right, I know that was invented by a sister, and we use these, a lot of these inventions, we use these every single day. IBM computer, pacemakers, the super soaker, blood banks, online video, which I didn't know. As a matter of fact, that was invented by a black woman. Gas masks, traffic lights, automatic gear shifts, elevator doors, clothes dryers, dust pans, lawnmowers, mailboxes, mops, the modern toilet, spark plugs, and video games. And this is just a small list. And all these inventions were invented by, that little list right there, basically everything on this list we use every day. So it'd be kind of hard to even go through life, if you really think about it, not using anything on this list. Where would you be if you didn't have the carbon filament in the light bulb? You might be sitting in the dark. Traffic lights. Go through these every day. Going to work, coming from work, going to school, going wherever. Automatic gear shifts in cars. The closed circuit TVs. I use that security system every day at work, because my job is basically I'm sitting at computers watching video monitors. So that's important. Okay. IBM computers. Remember back in the day when IBM computers were, pretty much all over the place. And then Apple came along and, the rest of the story. Blood banks. Those important for hospitals. Clothes dryers. Those are very important because, if you're not old enough to remember, whenever you, your mother or grandmother, whoever washed clothes, they usually put the clothes out on a clothesline to dry with clothespins. Dustpans. You sweep the floor, you sweep everything up in a dustpan. I'm not sure what they were using before then. It was probably using, sometimes, when you don't have a dustpan available, which you use a piece of paper or cardboard or something like that. Lawnmowers. Need those. Keep the grass down. Oh, boy. And in the background, I got both my grandkids crying. So, sorry about that. If you hear them, if you can't hear them, that's all good. Mailboxes. Got to have the box to put the bills in. Mops. Keep the floors clean after you sweep them. The toilet. Now, that's very important because back in the day, you either went outside or you used a chamber pot. Spark plugs are very important for cars, anything motorized, lawnmowers, cars, video games, which are very important to a lot of people. I got somebody crying in the background. Anyway, we're going to go to the first clip. If you want to call in, 563-999-3682. 563-999-3682. And this first clip is entitled 12 African-American inventors who modernized the world. Play this and I'll be right back.
African-American inventors and innovators are some of the best kept secrets in this country. Without their noteworthy contributions, the world, as we see it today, wouldn't be the same. So let's take a look at 12 individuals who revolutionized the world. Garrett Morgan was the seventh of 11 children born to Sidney and Elizabeth Morgan. In 1909, Morgan opened a tailoring shop which brought about his first invention called the safety hood. The safety hood consisted of a hood and a tube which reached near the ground to allow in clean air, and a tube that allowed the user to exhale air out of the device. Orders for this device came in from fire and police departments across the country. However, many of them were canceled when it was discovered that Morgan was black. Nonetheless, Morgan's safety hood, now known as the gas mask, was utilized by the United States Army and saved the lives of thousands of soldiers. Morgan also solved another safety problem by patenting an automatic traffic signal. Today's modern traffic lights are based upon Morgan's original design. In 1896, George Washington Carver received his master's degree in agriculture and was later summoned by Booker T. Washington to teach at the Tuskegee Normal and Industrial Institute. With a plot of land, Carver was able to show local farmers how crop rotation fertilizes soil. He instructed them to plant peanuts, which could be harvested easily and fed to livestock. With the abundance of excess peanuts from the farmers, Carver was able to produce more than 300 products, including ink, facial cream, shampoo, and soap. From sweet potatoes, he developed more than 115 products, of which many were used during World War I. He even created over 75 products from pecans. During his career, Carver would also partner up with Henry Ford to create synthetic rubber using a plant weed called goldenrod. Benjamin Montgomery was born into slavery in 1819 in Loudoun County, Virginia. At the time, commerce was distributed by steamboats, which would navigate through the rivers connecting counties and states. Utilizing his mechanical skills and inventive talents, Montgomery created a propeller that could cut into the water at different angles. This allowed steamboats to navigate more easily through shallow water. Born in Jefferson City, Tennessee, Mark Dean, in his capacity as an engineer for IBM, didn't take long to make a big impact, serving as the chief engineer for the team that developed the IBM PC/AT, the original home and office computer. Dean would eventually own three of the original nine patents that all PCs are based upon. With more than 40 patents, or patents pending, Dr. Dean is poised to continue his far-reaching impact on the world of science and the home and workplace. Otis Boykin was born in Dallas, Texas in 1920. During that time, electronics were very popular within the science community, and Boykin took a special interest in working with resistors. In 1959, he sought and received a patent for a wire resistor, which would ultimately be used in radios and televisions. 2 years later, he created another resistor that could be manufactured very inexpensively. His most famous invention, however, was a control unit for the pacemaker, which used electrical impulses to stimulate the heart and create a steady heartbeat. Marie Van Britten Brown and her husband Albert created the first closed-circuit television system to be used for home monitoring. That security system was a forerunner of all advanced home security technology in use today. The idea originated because Marie was home alone at odd hours of the day or night when her husband was working. She felt vulnerable living in an area with high crime rates. So working with her husband, The two create a motorized camera system, an alarm system, and a microphone system that allow them to identify a visitor and communicate with them through the microphones. And also was able to alert a security firm if their visitor was a threat. This invention is used throughout the majority of countries today in various surveillance applications. Benjamin Banneker was born in 1731 in Maryland, the son of a slave. One day, his family was introduced to a man named Joseph Levi, who owned a watch. Young Benjamin was so fascinated by the object that Mr. Levi explained how it worked and gave it to him. After days of deconstructing and reconstructing the watch, and after years of building and carving his own pieces by hand, he was able to create the first clock that was ever built in the United States. Little has been written about Richard Spikes in terms of his childhood, education, and personal life. What is known is that he was an incredible inventor whose creations have had a major impact on the lives of everyday citizens. One of his most notable inventions is the automatic gear shift, which is used in automobiles all throughout the world today. Spikes also developed an automatic car washer, a multiple barrel machine gun, and a continuous contact trolley pole, along with many other devices. Louis Latimer is considered one of the 10 most important black inventors of all time, not only for the sheer number of inventions he created, but also for the magnitude of importance for his most famous discovery. In 1880, Latimer was hired by the U.S. Electric Lighting Company, where he set out to make a longer-lasting light bulb. The method he utilized for constructing the light bulb made it less expensive and more efficient. Eventually, as more major cities began wiring their streets for electric lighting, Latimer was dispatched to lead the planning team. Over the next several years, he would make many more inventions, like the safety elevator, locking racks, and even a device that made rooms more sanitary and climate controlled. George Alcorn Jr. is a noted pioneer in the field of semiconductor devices and is one of the top inventors in the field of aerospace. Alcorn worked in IBM's space division and eventually joined NASA. Over his career, he created numerous noteworthy inventions and secured more than 25 patents. For George Carothers, in 1969, Carothers received a patent for his invention, which was an image converter which detected electromagnetic radiation in short wavelengths. Today, he continues to offer innovative ideas in the areas of astronomy and physics, and has been active in outreach programs seeking to bring science to youth around the country. Patricia Bath worked as an intern at Harlem Hospital in New York, where she noticed that many of the patients suffered blindness, while few at the Columbia Eye Clinic did. After further research, she concluded that blacks were twice as likely to suffer from blindness as the general population, and that the main explanation for this disparity was the lack of access to ophthalmic care for blacks. In 1981, she began working on her most well-known invention, called the Laser Foucault Probe, which was able to remove cataract lenses. As you can see, the contributions of these men and women have greatly influenced their generations, and all the generations after. The world has benefited from their genius, which brought groundbreaking ideas to life.
Okay, and I also forgot to mention a few things too, and I think they may be in the some of these clips. the modern stove was invented by a black man. The cell phone that I am talking to you right now, based on technology created by a black man. the trucks, the refrigerated trucks that you see on the road transporting food and other items that need to be chilled, that was invented by a black man. So, you know, and I could go on and on, but, you know, I've got the clips to play for you and everything. Like I said, you can get online and find these things. But the reason why this is important to talk about is because, like I said, if you don't know your history, then, you know, you might be one of those people, you know, like I used to be, you know, cause I forgot what was going on at the time, but I was like, just the thought hit me. It's like, you know what? Had to have invented something, you know, because back in, you know, when I was in school, you know, the books, the history books did not tell you all, did not give you all the facts. You know, they stuck to a few, like George Washington Carver, and they kept, you know, peanut butter, peanut butter, peanut butter, you know. And it's like, you know, there had to have been more than just peanut butter. So that's usually when you have to go to the library, which is back in those days, you actually had to go to the library. You know, I didn't have the internet back then, but you had to actually walk to the library or ride to the library or however you got there. Go to the card catalog, the Dewey Decimal System, and look for this kind of stuff. Because they sure enough didn't tell you. So a lot of these, like I said, a lot of these inventions are important. And if we didn't have a lot of these inventions, I mean, the lives that we live today would be totally different than, you know, than if we didn't have these inventions. Clip number two. All the clips tonight aren't long clips, but they do give you a lot of good information. So this next clip, this is going to be number two. This is going to be entitled Awesome Inventions by African Americans. See, number, where we at? Where we at? Where, there we go. All right. Number two. All right. Play it and I'll be right back.
Hello and welcome back to my office, where today, instead of talking about the latest nanotech doohickey or awesome, fantastic, newly discovered exoplanet, I want to spend a few moments of Black History Month talking about some of the freaking amazing things that were invented by African-American scientists. Things that have made my life way more awesome, and probably your life too, though who are we kidding, I don't care about you. Let's start with this thing.
Right here.
This.
And this.
And this.
And let's not forget this.
For all these things, we have to thank physicist James West, who in the 1960s revolutionized everything from hearing aids to rock and roll by inventing the electret microphone. Before James West came along, microphones were really weak, and they had to be hooked up to an external power source, which made them not super useful in a lot of applications. So while he was working at Bell Labs, he discovered that by implanting a microphone with an electret, which is a substance like Teflon that retains a static charge, it would not only pick up a broader range of sounds, it also didn't need a power source. Today, about 90% of microphones, including in your phone and in your laptop and basically anything else you talk into, use James West's technology. Now, about that computer that you have, out of all of the patentable inventions in IBM's original personal computer, a third of those patents are still held by Mark Dean. Dean is an electrical engineer without whose work I shudder to think of what my life would be like. In the early 1980s, Dean led the team that came up with the interior architecture that all PCs would use to communicate with other devices like printers and modems and other computers. Basically, the architecture that made computers worth using. Technology's changed a lot since then, of course, but the system that Dean developed, called the ISA Systems Bus, still used in a lot of industrial and military computers. Dean continued research to make computers smaller and faster and more badass, and in 1998, he led the team that came up with the first chip capable of doing a billion calculations per second. And he still works at IBM, where he's one of the senior vice presidents. So now we've got microphones for making videos, computers for like all the other work that I do. What else is there real? Oh, right. There's video games. Gamers everywhere should probably have a picture of Jerry Lawson taped to their console because he's our patron saint. In the 1970s, Lawson was head engineer at a company called Fairfield Semiconductor, which is a pretty big semiconductor company. And while he was there, he developed the very first video game console. Back then, video games were pretty much exclusively either like big stand-up things that you played at the arcade, or like one game that you took home and plugged into your TV and it just had the one game in it. Lawson thought that it was kind of dumb to have the hardware and the software bundled together and not be able to use the hardware for other games that could perfectly easily use the same game. So he came up with a system of cartridges. Each of the cartridges had codes for different games on them, and he also developed a console that you could plug the cartridges into and then play a variety of games that you could then buy independently, which is great for the video game company. Basically, the dude invented console gaming. His device was released in 1976 as the Fairchild Channel F, a year before Atari's first console. And, you know, you've never heard of the Channel F, so it's obvious that it didn't exactly take off. But his ideas did become industry standard. Soon after, Lawson left Fairchild to start his own video game company called VideoSoft, which made software for the Atari 2600. And the rest is history. Lawson died in 2011, but the next time I fire up Assassin's Creed, I'm totally gonna Tebow in his honor. We'll see you here next Wednesday with more SciShow Breaking. If you have any questions or ideas.
Okay. So in that clip, a lot of technical stuff, video games, microphones, computers. So we do need, and we do use these on a daily basis. Video games, I remember, back in the day, the Atari 2600, 5200, ColecoVision, the Pong video game. It was a whole lot different than what we have today. You know, I'm talking a whole lot different. The cartridges, now we have from the cartridges to the CDs, and now we just download games straight off the internet into the game systems. Remember the day sometime when you're playing a game and the game wouldn't come on, or if it started acting stupid, you would take the cartridge out and blow on it. CDs, if you had smudges on them, fingerprints, you'd wipe them off or whatever. So a lot has changed since, the computers, the first original computers were big. A lot of them were big. They would, room size. Now we have computers that fit in your pockets, your cell phones. That's what I tell people all the time. You walk around with computers in your pockets all the time. A lot of people don't know it. And these cell phones, when they were doing the moon launches back in the day, a lot of those computers were in rooms, and they were huge. These cell phones that we have now are stronger than some of those computers used to be. So you're walking around with a lot of power in your pocket, and you didn't even know it. I had no idea I had invented video games. But he did, because usually when they talk about video games, they'll talk about guys that invented Atari. Because there was, one game that came out before the Atari came out, but then when the Atari came out, that was it. And they even had a home system for Pong, but it wasn't all that great. But when the Atari came out, remember having one, back, and I say back in those days, but, we used to have, a lot of the houses had big TVs, floor models. And those were the good TVs, color TVs, big floor models. Those are the ones on the floor, and they had, usually had pictures on top of them or whatever. And then we couldn't play the Atari on the big TV. We got a little black and white TV that we kept in our rooms. So I would wait for my mother to go somewhere, go to work or go somewhere, and I would hook up the Atari to the color TV. And the first time I saw that thing in color, I lost my mind. Because up to that point, I was used to seeing everything in black and white. But when you see video games in color, and this was before the arcades came out, when you had just rooms full of games all over the place. This was before then. When the Atari came out, you know, that pretty much, you know, you had all those game, the game systems. Then you had the arcades, and I kind of missed the arcades. I thought arcades were cool. And it's like every mall had had an arcade in them. You know, save up your money, get those quarters, get that change, go up and play video games all day. Those were the good old days. Number three, and this one, this clip talks about what I just mentioned a few minutes ago, with the cell phones. Because, you know, Star Trek, the old Star Trek, you know, the communicators, those were the original flip phones, and nobody knew about it. So if you go back and look at old episodes of Star Trek, you will see, or they, you know, if they went to another planet or something like that, you know, they take them out and then they would flip them, call it to the Enterprise. Nobody knew at the time that those were the forerunners of the cell phone. And then the old cell phones were, you know, what they used to call a brick, you know. Those were a couple of grand to have. So nobody, you know, if you had a lot of money, you could afford them. But if you didn't have a lot of money, you couldn't afford them. They had, if you look at some of the older movies in the 70s, some of the older movies had car phones, but they looked like, but they looked like phones that they just put into the car. You know, like somebody just took a phone, just literally took a phone. Because back in those days, we had either touch-tone phones or rotary phones. Somebody just took a phone out of the house and put it in the car. And that's exactly what it used to look like. And then when the cell phones, the little smaller cell phones you could put in your pocket, when they came out, that's when, you know, they exploded. Everybody's got a cell phone. That's one of those things where you can't live without a cell phone. Everybody's got a cell phone. But did you know that a black man invented that technology, the cell phone technology? I didn't know that either. See, this is, like I said, this is one of the things where they kind of keep away from you. They don't want you to know the truth. You know, these are important to know, you know. Now, I ain't saying that we invented everything, but we invented, our ancestors invented a whole lot of stuff. And there's a lot of stuff that we still use to this very day that we can't live without. So this clip, see, this is number three. This talks about the brother that invented cell phone technology.
The following is an IM Solutions presentation. The Greatest Stories Never Told is a series of videos that highlights the little-known but significant contributions of alumni, administrators, and staff at historically black colleges and universities to provide a well-prepared science, technology, engineering, and math workforce. Today we spotlight Jesse Russell, whose innovations in digital signal processing led to the modern cell phone that changed the world. The cell phone has revolutionized how we connect to our world. It has created a paradigm shift in how society communicates. Cell phones have become indispensable for businesses, families, and individuals. Its usage has gone up from 34 million to over 204 million in the last 10 years. Few of us can imagine life without our cell phones. But all of this would not have happened without the remarkable advances in wireless technology made by pioneers such as Jesse Russell, an internationally known inventor who graduated from Tennessee State.
The beauty of historical black colleges for me, just talking to me personally at a personal level, is that what they did for me, that gave me the nurturing and the freedom to challenge. They didn't shut me down. And the teachers were more nurturing, or the professors were more nurturing, right? And what they did was they gave you a chance to express who you really were. If you're sitting in an SBCU and say, as I did in 1972, when I said, well, I want to work at Bell Laboratories, right? I ended up at Bell Laboratories, and in 1980, I was selected as one of the most outstanding engineers in America under the age of 32. Coming from a very poor environment, single family, 10 brothers and sisters, at least 9 brothers and sisters, right, out of Nashville, Tennessee. I never forget once I won that award I was talking about earlier. I didn't know anything about cellular radio. Never heard of it. It was in our organization. But right after they broke up the Bell system, the technology that nobody wanted was the cellular radio system. You know, and that they had tried to send it to the telephone companies, right? And then they sent it back to AT&T, right? So we had this sort of displaced group of people, right? I never forget the day my boss, his name was Jess Turner, he said, Jess, I know you don't want this job, right, to head the cellular radio group, but I believe that the future of communications will be deeply rooted around this concept of cellular radio. Now, I never will forget the first day I was on the job. I called the meeting of all the managers, and so they were all white. I was the only black guy, right? And I was saying, well, what's the problem, right? Why? Because they were losing so much money. It was pathetic. They were just losing money like you wouldn't believe. You know, they said, the problem is that we can only make money when people are in the cars and the phone rings and they answer. If they don't answer, it goes, they said, most of the time people are not in the cars, right? And so what I said was, well, that seems like an easy problem to solve, right? Why don't we just take the phone out of the car and just put it on the people? And I said, I guarantee you, if you put the phone on the people, I was thinking about just making money, right? So I said, I guarantee you, if you put the phone on the people, when it rings, they'll grab the phone. And I said, every time they grab the phone, we'll make a dollar, right? You know, right? You can tell the brother coming from the street, right? It's like selling stuff, right? So I said, every time, man, we'll make a dollar, man. And I said that we could turn the business around. At the time, I didn't know that the phones looked like the ones, and they had these big batteries, you know? And so, yeah, it looked like your battery, right? And so they were very nice, and they just say, look, it was kind of stupid for you to think that we could actually put these kind of phones on people, right? So they said, no, the problem is there are more people than there are cars, and we had designed this for cars, and so there's not enough spectrum to allow us to put that many people. That's why you can't do that, right? And I said, oh, that's what your problem is. But they didn't know I was probably one of the leading authorities in digital signal processing. Because that's how I'd gotten the award before, but they didn't know that, right? So what I said was, that's a simple problem to solve. What we'll do is that we'll completely digitize the speech. We'll substantially reduce the amount of bandwidth required on a per-user basis. And I described to them how you could do that, by what modulation schemes you would use and so forth. Then I said, if you do the math on that, and I can show you how we do that, that you can get 4 times the number of people in the same amount of spectrum. And it took us from like 1984 to 88, and we built the first digital cellular system any place in the world. And we took that business from like about $100 million business to $5 billion, simply because I challenged. I had so much self-confidence, right, that I was able to challenge the status quo in the midst of all the stereotypes about African-Americans, in the midst of an all-white group, that I had enough self-confidence to say what I believed, right, that could be done.
Mr. Russell's innovations have continued with his own company, Inc. Networks, and is developing telecommunications for the future.
So in the future, people were not just making voice calls or doing text messaging or data. They actually will be doing video calls like this as they walk around, not just between two people, but between groups of people. So you have a situation now in the cellular communications industry where the devices, from an innovation point of view, is outstripping the innovations in the network.
Right.
I mean, so you can build the fanciest device you want here, mm-hmm. but there's no network to talk to it that can deliver the bandwidth that's needed to do these very fancy things that they talk about with iPhones and iPads, right? Then you have a very limited thing. But you want more bandwidth on this device, then it's better to put the radio transmitters inside the building. And once you do that, you now can build a very broadband signal going up as well as coming down. Now you change the whole tenor of how you design cellular systems. And that's basically what we did.
I used to go out in Black History Month when I was at Bell Labs, right, speaking to young kids, 6th, 7th, 8th grade kids, right? One of the most touching things that I ever experienced, I was speaking to a 6th grader. She says to me, she says, "Are you a real inventor?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm an inventor." And I sort of talked about cell phones and how I invent cell phones. She says that, "Well, I thought all Black inventors were dead." No, I think one of the greatest stories that have ever been told is the contribution of Black Americans in the 60s and the 70s and the contributions that they've made in technology. To be able to teach young people that the scientists, engineering, and mathematics are the foundation of our society. The satisfaction that you get when you look back, like today, when I see how many people can use cellular telephone systems, and many people talk to me all the time, I didn't know that it was a Black guy that invented digital cellular communications.
Man that was responsible for the cell phone, the technology for the cell phone. And I do apologize for the shortness of these clips. I like playing long clips because I think the longer clips have a whole lot more information. And there were quite a few clips I wanted to get, but for some reason, the software that I used to download the clips would not let me download a few of the clips that I wanted to get, because I think a lot of the longer clips had a whole lot of information. I'm kind of mad about that. But like I said, if you want to get more information, or if you want to check these clips out, I get all the clips from YouTube, and they're on YouTube listed up under Black Inventors, and they've got quite a few clips on there. You know, that's where I got a lot of these clips from. But I mean, I've only mentioned a few. There are lots of things that Black people have invented. And, you know, like I said, that's very important to know, because the way history is that's taught in this country, they don't tell you the whole story. You know, the way they've got this education system set up now is that, you know, they'll have you thinking that, you know, Black history started with slave ships. And we know that's not true. But, you know, that's what they'll have you to believe, and that's what a lot of people have been believing for years. But, you know, we know better. You got to do your own research. You read, you know, find books, and then you'll find the truth. But you got to go look for it. It's not going to just fall in your lap. You have to actually get out there and look, because, you know, and I'm not dissing the school system. You know, they have to teach what they have. I've got no problem with that. The problem that I have is that, you know, they just don't tell you the real deal. you know, and I'm telling you, you know, they'll just, you know, you get to certain chapters in American history, and they won't tell you about Crispus Attucks, and they won't tell you that that black people fought in the Revolutionary War. They won't tell you that, you know, black soldiers fought in the Union War. You know, they won't tell you a lot of stuff. You have to go look for it because they don't want you to know both sides of the story, which is pretty jacked up. Pretty jacked up. So that's the reason why I do these shows, because I want you to hear both sides. You know, and like I said, some of you maybe listening tonight didn't have a clue to some of these inventions. And, you know, created by black people. The last clip is not a long clip, but it's going to be the last clip for tonight. I'll play it, and we will be right back.
February is Black History Month. It's a time to celebrate the contributions that African Americans have made to our society. For example, a lot of technological advances that we appreciate every day were the work of black men and women. Here's just a few of the innovations they have given us. Improvements to Thomas Edison's light bulb, the television tube, the manual jack, the hydraulic jack, and even the shoehorn. Did you know that Garrett Augustus Morgan was granted a patent in 1920 for the invention of the first traffic signal? The Morgan traffic signal was a T-shaped pole unit that had three positions: stop, go, and an all-directional stop position. This third position halted traffic in all directions to allow pedestrians to cross streets more safely. Morgan was also the creator of the first gas mask. Then there's Frederick M. Jones. He was granted more than 40 patents in the field of refrigeration. In 1935, he invented the first automatic refrigeration system for long-haul trucks and eventually ships and railway cars. This breakthrough eliminated the problem of food spoilage during the long trips, allowing fresh produce to be shipped around the world. One of the first American women of any race or class to become a millionaire through her own efforts was Madam C.J. Walker, also known as Sarah Reedlove Walker. She was born in 1867 on the shores of the Mississippi River in northeast Louisiana. In 1905, Sarah developed a conditioning treatment for straightening hair. She began selling this and other cosmetic products door to door. Madam Walker amassed a fortune, and in 1910, she built a factory in Indianapolis to manufacture her own line of cosmetics. Most people today have seen awe-inspiring pictures of Mars, the rings around Saturn, and other detailed features of planets. But did you know these photographs were taken with cameras and other supporting devices created by an African American? Dr. George R. Carruthers designed them, and since 1982, he has held the enviable position of a senior astrophysicist at the U.S. Naval Research Laboratory. Lonnie G. Johnson has been inventing thermodynamics systems for NASA and other organizations for years. But his most famous invention is a little more down-to-earth. He's the man behind the mega squirt gun called the Super Soaker. Since 1990, over 40 million Super Soakers have generated $200 million in sales. Lonnie has won numerous honors for his success in inventing and entrepreneurship, and his constant encouragement of young people to invent. The list of inventors goes on and on, from electrical devices used in guided missiles to the armrest for your computer stand. Take some time this month to learn about our nation's black history.
So that was the last clip of the night. Like I said, I wish I had some longer clips for you, but you know, you can get online and look them up and see who invented all kinds of things. So like I said, I just, you know, top of my head, you know, black guy invented the ink pen. Black Woman Invented Fold Out Bed, The Ironing Board. There was a device made that improved on the seed planting. Just on and on and on and on. Just all kinds of inventions that we still use to this day. Invented by brothers and sisters that we still use. And like I said, if nobody tells you, then you have to go out and look for these inventions and read about them. And a lot of them are pretty interesting, how they came about. You know, a lot of these inventions. One thing about right now, I forgot to write down. The modern fire escape, which is used on a lot of buildings, especially in New York. The ladder systems on the side of a lot of buildings, that was created by a black guy. Trying to think. Anything else I can think of? Like I said, the list is long. I can't think of anything top of my head, but I guarantee when I finish doing this, they'll start bouncing in my head. But anyway, you can research and get more information about these men and women that they won't tell you about. Let me say this before I close out. There's been a lot of talk about blackface, and I've done two shows on blackface. Matter of fact, I did a show on called The Coon Caricature, which went to the history of blackface. When movie came out in 1922, called The Birth of a Nation, talking about the KKK and all this other kind of stuff. A lot of white people in that movie, blackface. So blackface has been around, been in this country for a long time. The thing that kills me now is that all of a sudden it's coming back. And people are doing it, and then when they get caught doing it, then all of a sudden they pretend they didn't think it was racist to be in blackface. And then whenever black people bring it up, then the white people turn right around and they bring up stuff that, you know, the times that black people have put on, I guess, whiteface. For example, there's a classic Eddie Murphy bit on Saturday Night Live, where he dressed up like a white guy, put on white makeup and everything, and went into and did simple stuff that, you know, white people, you know, would do. He went to a bank for a loan, and the bank ended up giving a whole gave him all kinds of money and stuff. And it was a joke. You got white chicks, Martin on the Martin show, he did a white character. Dave Chappelle did a white character. So, you know, all of a sudden now, you know, when they get caught doing this stuff, when they know it's not right, then they come back and say, oh, I didn't know it wasn't right, or I don't remember, and all this kind of stuff. And I put this on my page last night. Kind of messed up when you don't remember whether or not you put on blackface or put on a KKK nightgown. I call them nightgowns. I don't call them robes and hoods. I call them nightgowns. That you can't remember if you either put on blackface or you had on a KKK nightgown. And then I think I heard this morning, that or this afternoon, that there was some principal or some teacher dressed up like Steve Harvey, putting on the blackface and all this other kind of stuff. You know, it's just the stuff is getting way out of hand. It's just getting crazy. So if you want to, if you're not sure what the blackface is all about, look it up. There was a documentary on PBS, and I used some of the clips of that documentary and talked about the blackface. You know, Jim Crow, you know, Step and Fetch It and all that kind of stuff back in the day. You know, Terry just had great big eye, you know, great big bulging eyes and big red lips. I mean, he had, was it Gucci? They had a sweater that, it was a black sweater. You pulled it up over your face, or over your, over the bottom of your face, and the bottom of the face, at the bottom of the sweater, had big red lips. And I saw something somewhere today that their shoes that are made to look like blackface. I mean, this stuff is just getting this is getting way out of hand. And the only thing you can do, I try not to let it bother me. I just, you know, I just go on about my business. I just do what I got to do. I got issues right now I'm trying to solve, and I, you know, I'm yeah. But it's just, you know, it amazes me that people do stupid stuff. Then they get caught, and all of a sudden, oh, well, I didn't know it was so-and-so. I did not, and they apologize. Or they say something stupid, and they're, oh, well, I didn't, you know. Those are just excuses. Now, you know that, you know, and the yearbooks, they had these pictures, you know, of these white guys and blackface and robes and all this other kind. They had to have gone by somebody to get put into those yearbooks. So it's kind of hard for me to believe that you didn't see these pictures going to yearbook, and all of a sudden, you know, well, I don't know how that got in there. You do know how that got in there. You saw it. You probably approved it. And it ended up in there anyway. I just don't get it. Anyway, we are going to, I hope this works. I remember, well, I'm not using the headset, so this should work. Here we go. Hey, what's up?
How you doing, Anthony?
Hey, I'm fine. How you doing?
You know, I don't have a problem with the costumes and blackface. They've been going on forever.
Yeah.
You know, you got an organization. You got an organization in New Orleans called the Zulus. They dress up in blackface. They black. Black membership. It will in the next few weeks for Mardi Gras. Louisiana State Legislature. It's coming up last part of this month. Fat Tuesday.
Oh, this month. Okay. Okay.
Louisiana State Legislature. You had the black members in whiteface and the white members in blackface. So. And to go back in the history and tell somebody what they done then, based on today's standards and views, is totally ridiculous. Hell, if people back in history were to look at these idiots, well, these people, the way they walk around sagging, and some to the point where not only are their pants down below their butt, but the damn shorts they got on got holes in them, where you can see their naked ass.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah.
And you know another thing, too. As far as them hoods of the Klan, I really don't have no problem with that neither. Because that white attire, that hooded attire, could be a representative of the Seville Knights in Spain. Did you know that?
I ain't know that.
That's what I'm saying. People respond emotionally to things, and not talking to you directly, but you just admitted that you didn't know it. They respond emotionally to things and really don't know what it is that they're looking at. In Seville, Spain, you got a brotherhood called the El Barotillo. El means the god Barotillo. He carries a baby during the procession. But they dress up in hooded gear. It may have been where the Klan got the idea for theirs. I don't know. You have to go back and do their research. But what's nothing wrong with it? So what they want to wear, leave them the hell alone.
Yeah.
Remember Amos and Andy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Then you had the Little Rascals with Stymie.
Yeah.
The little bald-headed guy who wore the dirty hat. You had Buckwheat.
Yep.
Had you had the big eyes.
Yeah.
There was some good days back, a series back there, Little Rascals.
And they had a couple other little black kids with them. I think like Buckwheat had a little sister. It was either Buckwheat or Stymie had a little sister. I don't remember the sister's name, but they had a couple more black kids in there. I'm a big fan of the Three Stooges. Curly, I like Curly, Moe, and Larry. And they had a couple of episodes where they had like black guys in those episodes. They had
Curly was bullied to the point of suicide, I understand. Wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. They had a black guy that he was a cook in one episode when they were plumbers, and they had a black cook, and he was funny, but you know, back then he would talk, there was one point in the clip where the light bulb that got full of water and all this other kind of stuff, and he was like, "This house show is crazy," or something like that. And he said it like they used to talk back then, you know, "This house show is crazy." He had the big eyes, and you know, he was in a couple episodes and stuff. So yeah, I mean even you know, something I enjoyed watching. You know, I didn't know at the time, because when I started watching that, I was a kid. But now I still watch it, but it's like, you know, watching it now, you watch it differently than you did when you were a kid. Looney Tune cartoons, when they had Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, you seen the Roadrunner was always trying to kill somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
In the Three Stooges, they would use violence.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and a lot of that stuff, you know, if you hadn't seen it, you know, check it out. But yeah, I mean, that was a different time, because you know they would play those Looney Tune cartoons at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because I remember a bunch of, you know, and they would do the ones they had down south. I mean, they would play these cartoons 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you know, nobody back then said anything about it. You know, when I was a kid, I had no idea, but I remember those cartoons, you know, it's, you know, back then, that's the way it was. So now, they don't even show those cartoons on TV anymore.
But, you know, this incident that's going on with this Attorney General of Virginia, and also the governor, look at Attorney General, it's three of them in a row there, and the governor... The
governor, lieutenant general, and
lieutenant governor,
and the black guy's
lieutenant general.
He's lieutenant governor.
Here's the thing: if you go back and look at what they've done to Republicans, more of Alabama, and try to do to Justice Kavanaugh, based on the same, but these people got good proof. Compared to Justice Kavanaugh, where the collaborators didn't know what the heck the female was talking about. But this woman has got good evidence and testimony. But because he's black and because he's a Democrat, nothing's going to happen to him. But you had another situation in Missouri with a state legislator, a female, black female, Marie Chappelle Nadell, who wrote on her Twitter page that she wished that hoped that Donald Trump is assassinated. Nothing happened to her. Hell, John Conyers was accused, the Democratic congressman of the 13th district there in Michigan. He stepped down, a long-term black Democrat. Now you got the woman that replaced him. Her name is Rashida Tlaib, I believe. She's elected. Then she tells her son, we're going to impeach the motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. I tell you
then
what.
You got this other congresswoman who's representing, I don't know what district she represents. I think she's a Somali. Her faith is Muslim.
And
she makes
the
statement
the
that she made about Israel.
Yeah.
I bet she don't step down. She's a Democrat and black. I'm not sure. I said she's a person of color. So you see the bias, the hypocrisy that exists on the Democratic side just after they was throwing innuendos and allegations on Republicans' process and Republican candidates.
I just think the whole thing is a hot mess. And I'm, you know, I was thinking, you know, I guess, you know, it would be a duty to serve, you know, to get into politics and to serve your community or whatever. But now the way it's going now, I'd be afraid to even do something like that because it's just way too much. It's just way too much stuff that, you know, I know we've got to be aware of a lot of this stuff, you know, and I tell people all the time, especially black people, you know, need to watch the news. You need to keep up with the current events because that's important. But it's like there's so much stuff going on. It's like, you know, somebody gets accused of something, well, I ain't stepping down.
And with that $174 a year salary and the pension that you get for serving one term, which is ridiculous, but that's what they want to pay them. That's their business.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
And over in Spain, you got several groups that some of them wear white, some of them wear purple, some of them wear blue outfits, which is has the hood. Now, see, in the United States, you're not supposed to be out in public with your face covered. But over there in Spain, you can.
Yeah.
Because that's that country. Yeah. But what else are you talking about?
I just did a pretty long, I guess it's long, pretty decent thing on black inventors. Just had some clips of, I couldn't do all of them justice, unfortunately. I'd be doing this for a minute, so I try to go over, you know, a lot of the important inventors, a lot of the inventions, you know. Oh, I forgot one invention that the black people invented, or somebody, a black guy, you know, refrigeration, stoves, you know, ironing boards, all kinds of stuff. Because, you know, I, especially kids, I don't think a lot of kids know that a lot of inventions that they use today were invented by black people.
Well, you know, here's the thing, you're talking about black people. Blacks today are not providing their children with the minimal things that they need in order to spur their mind for them to come up with innovations. Because I was a kid, we had access to a lot of things. We had the electronics surplus parts store in the community that had surplus everything, transistors, resistors, surplus components, timers, and I was a ham radio operator. I carry an extra class license, KT0J, and I built all my equipment, my radio equipment. I built a color remote control 26-inch TV. That the first time I turned it on, I used a real long broom handle.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of other things. Built my daughter a robot that woke her up in the morning, had infrared, and had sonic detectors on it. So we had things then, whereas you could challenge your imagination by having access to the thing. And even in you go to China today, those same type of electronic kits, chemistry sets, rock gardens. Those things are available for young people so that they can spur their imagination in order for them to create innovation. But they don't have that today. And that's a shame. Now, it's not that it's not available, but it's not pushed. Only organization that I know that's pushing a couple of things is the National Society of Black Engineers. And there's another organization out there in Oakland called Oakland Youth First, where they have maritime training, aviation training, and, you know, things along those two lines, but also others where a young black child can challenge their curiosity and their inner skills toward innovation.
Yeah, because I remember when I was a kid, I had chemistry sets, I had microscopes, I had telescopes, I had...
You providing it for your boys today?
Well, he's not interested. That's the thing. The kids now, they're not interested in that kind of stuff.
But if you put it in front of them,
you know.
Oh, okay. If you try it, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Well, you got a lot of competition.
Well, because I was going to say, because now the kids today, and I say this all the time, the kids today don't have the imaginations that we used to have. Because you could put us in a room with all kinds of stuff in it, and we will figure out some kind of way to make it work, to play with it or whatever. But the kids now, they don't have that imagination because I was talking to my son one time before. You know, we used to have those plastic army men. You know, there was like one side was green, one side was blue or whatever. And I would have them, I would sit in the living room, and I'd have them all over the place. You know, I'd have them on the coffee table, on the chairs, on the TV or whatever. And I'd sit there for hours playing army men. But now with the video game, you don't have to do that anymore because it's pretty much already set up for you. So you don't have to use your imagination to get them to, you know, launch a rocket or whatever. You know, it's already there, and they just do it. So they just don't have the imagination to do a lot of stuff that we used to do.
Yeah, I used to launch rockets with my daughter. Get them kit rockets, put them together. They had their little engines.
Yep. We had one. Me and my friends, we had one. I think it had a camera in it. And we would go to the hobby store. We used to have a hobby store downtown. It's not there anymore, but we used to go get them, buy them out of there. Matter of fact, we used to get the ST's model rockets. We used to order the catalogs, and then we would order them out of the catalogs. And if we didn't order my catalogs, you know, we'd go to the hobby store, and we'd get them, and we'd, you know, put them together and paint them and put the engines in them and shoot them off and all that kind of stuff. Back then that stuff was fun to do. These kids today, I don't think they would consider that fun. They'd probably consider that as a chore. You know, because they don't.
That kind of stuff led me to becoming a pilot. I started off with those planes, with those fuel planes that you went around the circle on, had it on the end of a string.
Oh, yeah.
Control string.
Yep.
Then we started with Atari, had the jumbo jet software on it. It was a game, sort of, but the damn thing was in real time, which is kind of difficult. You sit there for an hour, find some place, then crash. You got to start all over. Then we had the gauge model planes that was radio controlled.
Yeah.
Then we went and learned, took ground school. Then we took our wet training, which was, you know, flying with an instructor, and got our own license. And a plane. Yeah. Planes wasn't expensive that day. A plane cost about $7,000 to $10,000. Got my instrument radios so I can fly in without, you know, fly in the clouds. And it was a little group. We had a Black Aviation Club here with about several black pilots. So no, in nowadays that the 1 ounce organization, it's several organizations really. The black aviators. You got some in Kansas City and down in Dallas. And they have programs, activities where they're trying to encourage blacks to become, get into the field of aviation. Hell, down there in Hempstead, Texas, they got a group of black rodeo enthusiasts. And a lot of them are females. Matter of fact, they have, I was watching one video clip. They had a young girl, must have been about 5 years old, riding a horse during competition.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Well, we're going to close this up. Matter of fact, I haven't had dinner yet, so I'm waiting for dinner to show up. And that's
yeah, so
thing.
Take
that's
your sons and get them exposed to those things, Anthony. Don't wait to take them to these places. You know, check your, I don't know where you live at, but go to them expos that are designed to display manufacturing and production equipment, tractors, trucks. They have airplane fly-ins. They have rodeos, black rodeos. And, you know, aviators. Huh?
Yeah, I still like the airplanes every now and again. They used to have the air shows out at Fort Bragg. They don't do those anymore. I kind of wish they did. Those are fun. You know, you get the, you know, walk on the great big ones.
Yeah, and for display.
I can't think of the name of them. Yeah,
C-41.
Yeah, I kind of wish they did those, but they don't. But yeah, those are a whole lot of fun to go to.
Scott Air Force Base in Illinois does it. Should be coming up on it.
I think there may be one around here. I got to see if they still do it or not. They used to do it, but I don't know if they still do it or not. Air Force Base in Goldsboro. I think they still do the air shows. I need to look that up and see if they still do them. That'd be
now, you're in North Carolina, aren't you?
That'd be interesting. Yeah, I'm in Raleigh.
Well, they got a Black Yacht Club organization there in North Carolina.
I know that.
Oh, heck yeah. Some of them brothers got million-dollar yachts, man. You should check that out. Take your sons out there.
I like to do that. I've never been on a yacht before. I bet that'd be fun. I need to do that.
I used to fly into North Carolina a long time ago. Yeah, man, that's a lot of fun. Take them kids out there. But anyway, I'm gonna let you get off the air and get to your family. I came in kind of late.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and close it up. But got in late. Always go back and listen to it. Listen to the show or whatever. So yeah. So I'll be back next week. I haven't decided what to talk about yet, but I got a few days to figure that out. So, but I'll be
all
back
right.
next week.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right. I appreciate it. And let's hit the button. And I am out. And I will see you next week. Peace out.